I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Herb Dean. If you like MMA, and if you like to laugh, check out the One Punch Podcast at BT Sport.
This is Bruce Buffer. Tune in to the One Punch Pod on BT Sport.
So welcome back to episode 12 of the BT Sport One Punch UFC Pod with me, Brian Lacey, and
Brad One Punch.
Pick it, mate. Well, I like that. A little bit of mixing it up there, mate. I've missed you. It's been a while since I've seen you, buddy.
Just like a few hours?
Maybe 4 hours. We had a little trip in Poland, didn't we? Did you have a good time?
I had a really good time, actually, in Poland. Yeah. The weather obviously didn't come back with us. You know,
it's
really nice there in Poland. And today it's been raining all day.
And this is a circle of trust to us and our listeners. So we need to be honest about the next step of our relationship that happened over there in Poland, because there was a little mix-up with the hotel and there was no room for a Bradley Pickett, and I kindly opened room 410 of the Holiday Inn in Poland to you, to welcome you in, but there was only only one bed.
Yes, but a good job, it was a big double bed.
It was a big bed, mate. It was a big bed. And this is what we should also let the listeners know. You thought you were being really funny. You and Lee Doyle, the commission there, because there was no room ready for you, I said, you guys, just come and put your bags in my room, like a kind Samaritan that I am. Don't you worry about your stuff. It's safe with me. Let you come up to my room, put your bags in. You two went into the room first. And do you want to just tell them what happened?
You commented how nice the bed looked.
It did look nice, didn't it? It looked inviting. It looked nice. It was well made. It looked inviting, right?
So me and Lee Doyle thought we'd smash it up, and he got in of his regions out. And,
you both put more flesh on show than needed to be on show for messing the bed up.
And rubbed it into your covers.
Yeah, which you didn't realise at that point were then going to be your covers as well. Yeah. So backfired, eh?
It did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
I think I got my bum end as well.
So
I was sleeping with my own. Yeah, that's all right. At least it was my bum.
It's your bum. I suppose that's all right. And then in the night, I've got to just tell our listeners that despite it being a very big bed, and it was very big, it was bigger than a king size bed. Well, it was huge. It was a big old bed.
Yeah, it was.
But despite you only being 4'7" with Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, there I am sleeping, dreaming of, probably dreaming of, I don't know, let's see.
Your wife?
Yeah.
That would be a good start.
That's a good start. Or Sarah Pickett too, that's right.
Okay, yeah,
whichever one. And then I felt a little hand on my shoulder, mate. A little hand came wandering across to say hello.
And are you sure it was a hand?
I'm absolutely certain it was a hand, mate. which I then thought, well, this is interesting, because I'm going to be honest, and we'll talk about some of my grappling a little bit later, but you could probably out-grapple me, so I thought I might be in trouble, but you were just snoring away. I moved your hand across over to your side. You turned over, oblivious that you gave me a little bit of a picket tickle in the night.
I don't know. You have to ask Sarah, because I don't even think I do that to
I did ask your wife the next day. I sent her a message and she said that you don't even do that to me. But little hand
on
the shoulder,
Bonnie,
mate.
I mean, I try to find Bonnie. I normally call her Bonnie.
Okay, know, that's it. That's it. So
did you feel a moment? Was there anything there?
I felt a moment, mate.
Yeah.
I felt a moment of pure fear.
And for someone who told
me... Pure fear, and I spent the rest of the night wide awake, holding onto the covers, praying that was just an accident, which thankfully it was. Thankfully it was. But Poland was good. I know you've been talking about it non-stop since we got here and since we got off the plane and since that. But do you want to explain why my knee's been re-injured, mate? Do you want to just tell people how I re-injured...
I don't know.
Come on, mate.
What happened?
Come on. No, you know what happened.
I don't know, honestly. I've obviously blocked this out, and this must be the World Cup final for you or something. So give me my moment, mate.
Oh, okay. Come on, what happened, mate? Come on, sell it.
I try and sell it as best as I can. Okay. I'll be really honest. I didn't see it.
No!
All I saw is Phil Davis on the floor in the nightclub.
Okay.
Brushing all these, like, when he got up, he had all dirt. Because, okay, when I say it was a nightclub, we were there so long, it was a day club. It was outside and it was bright. I mean, I can't remember. Last time I done that, I think it was Ministry of Sound back in the 90s.
Wow. You
know? Yeah, so Phil Davis,
Mr. Wonderful, ex-UFC fighter, champion in other promotions, 205-pound fighter, Division One wrestler. Carry on.
He was on the floor.
Yeah, how did he get there, mate?
That's what I don't know. But apparently, with a smile on your face, you said you took him down.
We had a little grapple, and I think I surprised him with a little
But then you regretted it.
I've regretted it every second since, mate, because he stood up, wiped himself down, and then picked me up and hit me with Planet Earth. Basically, like, our little struggle was quite funny. And then when he went, all right, now we're doing the business, are we? He just picked me up.
He leg swept
me, and my knee was shot. So I was gangster limping out of the club at what time?
It was actually 5 a.m. Mate, I think I remember that.
That's it. But gold, mate, gold. And we should also congratulate, because Mr. Luke Barnett was out there, ex-UFC fighter, final of the promotion. He got a victory out there, but a bigger victory in life just happened for this man out there today. He's just had his baby. So from both of us, we'd like to wish the Barnetts, Lucy.
It was one hell of the weekend for the Barnetts.
Yeah, it really was, mate. And I took Phil Davis down.
And regretted everything. And
So, this week's show, what have we got? We have got lots to look back at. So we look at UFC 238. We have the dentist himself, Mr. Darren Stewart, coming to talk to us. Then we'll have a little look at the next card, the Fight Night card, going down on June 22nd. Plus a couple of little bits of extra news that have dropped just this morning that I want to get your thoughts and opinions on. So we'll start at the top. We'll start talking about this UFC 238. Henry Cejudo became a triple C, a triple champion, Olympic gold medalist, flyweight champion, and now bantamweight champion when he took out Marlon Moraes. We watched the fight together, and it was a brilliant fight. Moraes, those leg kicks to start with, looked like that was going to be the story of the fight. Looked like he was dictating in the first, and then Henry Cejudo made the adjustments like he did in the Demetrius Johnson one, when he had to switch stances and fight southpaw rather than orthodox. He made adjustments, and it wasn't a physical one, it was almost a mental one. He stopped turning it into a technical fight, and he just made it a brawl, and then overwhelmed Moraes to take the title in the end.
Obviously, with the lead up to this, I mean, I'm finding Henry a little bit more cringy than ever. You know,
this was one of my questions. Is he the pound for pound king of combat sports or the pound for pound king of cringe? Because there's two sides to talk to him about. What he does in the cage is phenomenal. But then you look at some of the stuff outside, like the media day, where it looked like they booked a children's entertainer to come out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't know if that was serious or being funny. If it was trying to be funny, you should smile and laugh about it.
Yeah. But then he goes all serious.
But then he was serious.
He's huffing and puffing, his veins popping out of his head.
Coming out in a clown outfit, but then you're really serious. It's like, I don't know, is this trying to be a joke? I was just confused. But let's go back to what we actually, what I respect him for, the way he could adjust within a fight. He's done that a few times. You saw it with Demetrius Johnson when he hurt his leg.
Sure.
Came back, And then this one here, he was getting pieced up in that first round, realizing distance was not the thing for him. He couldn't be on the outside taking those leg kicks. He had to come forward by down on his mouthpiece a little bit, getting in the face, and he looked great. You know, he looked really good, you know. So, yeah. So, I don't know who there's in either division is there for him. He might have to go up a weight class.
This is what I'll talk to you about as well. Let's say, obviously, after the fight, he then calls out names that both of us, we were watching, we were very impressed by the finish. To finish Marlon Moraes in the way he did after taking such heavy leg kicks to switch the fight around was amazing. But then again, in the post-fight interview, he's not mentioning Peter Yan or Aljamain Sterling, who fought on that card, any of these up-and-coming bantamweights. And I don't know whether Dominic Cruz, Uriah Faber, I know Dominic Cruz heard it there and then in the because he was on the desk, doing comms, for the fight. But they must be thanking him because he's just made them relevant again. Uriah Faber, Dominic Cruz, Cody Garbrandt. It's like he's wants to jump back a generation of bantamweights. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you're getting a bit cringy. It's like, oh, I won the money fights, and for me,
he's on a legend tour. That's what he said.
So I'm a legend tour.
Yeah,
that for me, when you're the champion, for one, you don't call out other people because you're the champion. It's people's jobs to call you out. You fight anyone.
Yeah,
you know, you don't want to call. For me, when you're champion, it's like everyone else is beneath you. You're not. Why are you calling anybody?
You've got
out?
The X on your back already. Yeah,
just let them come to you. Let them want to fight you. So I did find that very, very weird. Because if you want me to be honest, obviously the UFC had a few other 135 pounders on that card, which in my eyes were technically fighting for the number one contender spot. You know, because some big names. Obviously, we had Sterling versus Pedro Munhoz, and then
we had
Petr Yan versus Rivera.
Yeah,
right. So. They're massive fights within that weight class. So I think they're more relevant than anyone else.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question too. So we've got the other bantams on the card. Yeah, Yan and Sterling both won. Who do you think, which performance from either of those two gave the best shout of being putting themselves in that number one contender spot?
This is a tricky one. I think if you go by performance or by... as you would say nowadays with UFC pay-per-view sort of thing, I think the more interesting fight, you know, just for back and forth kind of thing would be Sterling, you know, because Sterling's quite funny, quite brash, you know, and it'd be more, I guess, of an entertaining lead up to the fight. But with performances, I think Petr Yan looked fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, but he's Russian, just, you know, and just... lives and die by the sword. He doesn't talk much. He just does the job. But he looked great as well, dropping Rivera a few times within that fight, you know, and he just come forward like you know, a man on the mission. So in theory, if there was someone else out there, or depending on how, let's say if Henry got hurt and was out for some time, I would put Sterling versus Petr Yan for the title shot. But they haven't got anyone else there, so...
It's difficult, isn't
it? Yeah,
it's difficult. Yeah. What do you think about the UFC as well and what they do with Sterling? Because Sterling, that fight, Munhoz versus Sterling, wasn't like the main event of the prelims. It was just in the middle of the prelims.
Yeah.
It's a weird place to put it because Munhoz had made a statement with his last victory. Sterling, I think it's 3-fight win streak or something like that.
Yeah.
Really impressive win streak coming back of his last loss, which was Marias. But they sort of buried him on that prelim card, which was a little bit weird. And he made noise about that. That was
he
the
did.
Thing. His performance was good. I thought the fight was excellent. It's the most pumped I've seen him in the cage. They were talking to each other,
swearing at each other. You know, that is a
It was great. But he had to make some noise at the end of it. And I thought that was well played on his part. Like.
Yeah.
Not shying away, and he's probably got somebody. Well, he's got a corner that they're not shy of saying what they feel,
yeah.
And also one of his best mates, the who's the guy that fought Habib on short notice. I've forgotten his name now.
Alao Quinta,
thank you. That he's been very vocal about the UFC and the way they treat him in particular. But Aljamain Sterling made a real point of saying, look, I'm here, this is what I've done. I've just taken out Munhoz. That was an excellent fight. And Munhoz is superb and was on a tear of his own. Do you think just the fact he made that noise should earn him that?
Unfortunately, just the way the world works is sometimes the dog who barks the loudest gets the bigger bone, and that's what it is with the UFC. If you start, it's hard to be a quiet person now. You can't just put on good fights. You need to, unless the spectacular finishes. If you're winning decisions, even though you do well and do good, I think. It's not as more if you're knocking people out cold or submitting people left, right, and center. Then that obviously does you bigger favors. But sometimes it's like how you talk, you know. Like, and if you do both, you knock people out and you talk well, you're Conor McGregor.
There you go. Yeah, and you don't have to defend your title then.
No, that's don't it. Have to defend any
score
title.
Go make $100 million in another sport. That's it. So let's ask the question about Yan as well, because this is something I didn't realize. It's 360 days he's been in the UFC, I believe.
Five fights in one year.
And I believe he's had two contract renegotiations. That shows you how hot the UFC are keeping him. Petr Yan, he's something special. I think the UFC spot that, and especially when they're trying to make this market as big as they want it to be in Russia. that performance was as solid as you're going to get against a dangerous opponent.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I say since he come into the UFC, yeah, I mean, like, he's one of those guys where there's not a lot of noise around him, really. So it's one of those guys that you don't really want to fight. So I think people would definitely be avoiding him now. Okay. You know? I think so, you know. But hard now, you know, obviously he's on the main card. So it's good that now the UFC promoting him a bit bigger. He's on the main card sort of thing. So now, yeah, I just think he's one of those tricky people. You know, people ain't going to want to fight him, really. He's not like a big money fight or anything like that. Like I say, he's very, keeps himself to himself, you know. So, yeah.
It's a dangerous fight as well, isn't it? If you're making some progression and they give you Peter Yan as a fight, that's, you really got to think about taking that one.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people, you know, to turn down fights. I don't think Peter Yan would ever turn down a fight himself, but I got a feeling there'll be some people who would turn down Peter Yan for a fight, you know, like, no, I'm not fighting him. Yeah, you know, I can see, because now people don't realise it is a business and it's a winning business, and Peter Yan is not an easy fight at all, and you probably get a bit more bang for your buck where you fight, no disrespect, you fight someone like Uriah Faber.
Sure.
You know, he's a massive name.
That's
now.
That's a good shout.
He's accomplished himself, right?
Yeah.
And he's a massive name.
Yeah. And he's coming back.
And he may be, not saying he's an easy fight, but he may be an easier fight than a Peter Yan.
Okay. Okay. So let's have a little look at some of the other action that happened that night. And let's go straight to that flyweight title with Shevchenko. What a finish that was against Jessica Eye. Now, I mean, when you look at Shevchenko, it's difficult to pick opponents for her after this, what she's done, how good she's looked. Bantamweight, she lasts five rounds with Amanda Nunes, winning that last round, making it a very close fight. And then she does this to Jessica Eye. Jessica Eye is tough. She's not.
Yeah,
she's no joke.
And also, she is number one contender.
Yeah.
So if you knock out the number one contender out cold, yeah, I mean, I hope everything's okay, but. You could hear that kick. It was like a baseball bat. Yeah, boom.
Quite literally, yeah. When they replayed it with the sound, that it was just that the thud across there. So
yeah, and I mean, like that division for me is a little bit shallow. I mean, I think there's how many female weight? I think there's four female weight classes.
There's four. Yeah, if you're going to count 145, which is basically just Cyborg and whoever they can get to fight.
Yeah. So. Okay.
But this one is fairly new. So, and Shevchenko in her post-fight interview said she thinks this is the future of where the division, the female,
where she wants to be. That's yeah. what it is. That, I mean, it's the future for her weight class. You know,
yeah.
I do think she was too small for 135, and 115 was a bit too much of a push. So I think this is the future for her. I think someone like Joanna, I think that was the good weight class for her as well. 125 going down to 115, it was a big cut for her, and she's not big enough to be 135. So I actually do think Joanna is a natural 125 pounder. Well,
yeah,
as well. But they've already fought each other, so
that's the thing. I'll go through. We've got the top 15 here, and if you look at the let's just go through the top five, or even more than that, and go further up. So Jessica Eye is number one. She's just been knocked out in the was it second round? But yeah. The first round she was dominated as well. That was impressive ground stuff from Shevchenko. Then you've got Katlin Shukagayan, who beat Jojo in a close split decision. Jojo will be, I mean, that was the first fight of the night. I don't know if you got to watch that back, but that was a very, very close split decision between the two. Katlin took that one, so she's now in the number two spot. So she's the only one at the minute on that win streak. You got Liz Carmouche, Joanna Jacek, Roxanne Modafferi, Joanna Calderwood, and three of those four are on. Have lost their last fight, so in the top. So you really are limited as far as options. But that's,
and she's basically the only two losses she's had on her record. She's lost twice within the UFC, and both of them are to Amanda Nunes, who is a big 135 pounder, who's actually fought at 145 and won the belt up there. So yeah. So not saying, and also, like you say, the last one was a split decision. You know, so I'm just think they're going to struggle to find people in. I mean, if they try and pull off other people from other organisations, you know, sometimes you see other organisations do like a fight share,
sure,
where you see someone go to another promotion to fight and vice versa. Maybe they could do that, because I know there's other organisations out there with quite a strong ladies division as well. Yeah. So maybe they could do that. But yeah, you got to find some people to fight. I'll be honest, there's not going to be many people queuing up, you know, to knock on the door to fight her.
But let's talk about her a little bit, because she She's amazing, mate. First of all, like, how dedicated. You watch the Instagram. She's constantly training, her and her sister, non-stop training. That or shooting guns. That's what they're doing, target practice. Hilarious. But she is, in the post-fight speech, she reeled off a thank you in English, then Spanish, and then Russian. She's from Kyrgyzstan, and if you follow her on social media, she got
the welcome,
a hero's welcome. Like, the country came out to welcome her back. In a post-fight interview when she was on ESPN, the president of Kyrgyzstan phoned her up personally. So she's on camera getting a personal congratulations from the press. I mean, we might not feel it in the West how big a star she is, but when you look at that, that's superstar status.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like, you get one of those countries like Conor did with Ireland, you know, when you get a whole nation behind you, it's a very, very powerful thing, you know. So, honestly, I've never really heard of Kyrgyzstan.
Stick with me, mate, and I'll take you there. So
obviously, it's an old part of USSR, am I right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously, it's split off. So it's one of those small sort of countries.
Yeah.
So, so she's putting, like I say, her country on the map. And she's very proud. And, yeah.
She does all the dancing as well. She did the celebratory dance afterwards in the traditional Kyrgyzstan style. She's superb. And the questions continuously until that division gets a little bit thicker is who's going to take her crown, because she is something special. Speaking of something special, what a link. Cowboy versus Tony Ferguson. What a fight that was.
Yeah.
What a shame. Yeah. What happened. We watched that together, all snuggled up. didn't we?
Yeah.
We actually did. Morning cup of tea. We watched that fight, and Cowboy looked good in the first round. He was certainly catching Tony. I would have given Cowboy that first round, but then Tony Ferguson came out hard and heavy. The pressure, the pace.
He doesn't stop.
The elbows coming from crazy places were unreal. He looked amazing. Barely broke a sweat, barely broke a breath. Broke Cowboy's nose, though, and the mistake Cowboy made. And as soon as we were watching the corner, I think we both said it, as soon as he touched his nose, we just went, don't blow it. And then as soon as he did, he turned around, doing.
It's like straight away. Yeah. Like he pulled like an inflatable life jacket on his nose. And it was like, wow. And then he tried to, oh no, I'm going to try and push the air back.
That's what he said to the doctor. Can you just push the air? Oh, that's the Cowboy thing to say. I could almost have pictured the Rocky moment, you know, where they cut it, but you know, like it would have deflated like a tire.
But I forgot that happened in Rocky.
That happened in Rocky. Just cut it. Yeah, but that was obviously it was real Rocky. But that was oxygen. So what actually happened? And this is what when Joe Rogan was talking to him afterwards, he said, "I'm a veteran. I shouldn't have done that." When you break your nose like that, sometimes you can you pierce where the orbital is, right? Yeah. Is that correct? And then basically it just opens up a little hole, like you're blowing up a balloon. So he ended up just when he's trying to blow out whatever was in his nose.
He filled his eye socket with air.
With air and whatever other tasty goodness could get in there as well. But there was no way that fight was continuing.
It was a shame also because obviously there's a little controversy towards the end of that round because it was a late punch and it was actually
it's
on
a hell
the
of
nose.
A punch as well, mate,
it was
wasn't
a good
it?
One, but it was actually really on the nose. Yeah. But obviously his nose was already broken.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was the deciding factor of his broken nose with him blowing it. But also, some people could have used that and said, no, that was, and I milk it a little bit, but Cowboy straight away shut it down in front of everyone in the fans.
Yeah.
He said, no, nothing to do with it. I was stupid enough. My nose was already broken.
Yeah.
So, he is a true, true legend. When people say that, I think that word gets thrown around way too easily. But he's one of those people, isn't it? He's been around such a long time, the most fights, he has so many records, and he's never had, he has, he's won the WC belt, but he's never won the UFC belt. And I'm just like, how? How's this guy not done that?
He
fights, when was his last fight before that? 3 weeks?
Yes.
Then he fights Togi Ferguson. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
This guy fights all the time, you know?
But Tony Ferguson, on the flip side, I mean, that was a TKO victory. And actually, we learned a little bit at the event we were at in Poland as far as when an illegal blow or what is deemed to be the fight-ending strike, how that can affect that being a disqualification or
no contest, or a
TKO. And because it was Herb Dean that explained it to us, because you can go back and watch the footage and it was deemed that his nose was broken beforehand, that's why it was a TKO. That's why Tony Ferguson takes it. And he was growing into that fight and it was good to see him back. And what was also good is all the stuff in and around it. Like, we watched a few of his interviews. He's one of a kind, and we need to look after him, and we need to accept him for whatever.
Don't tell him.
That's right. Go on.
Don't tell him he needs looking after, because he will tell you to off.
Something off. Yeah. Because that's what one of the journalists asked. They said, "What have you got to say? Fans are saying we're worried about you. We're not sure you should be back." And he said,
"Stay in your lane. You know, like, it's my. You know, don't worry about my. But you get on with your own stuff. Yeah. Like, if you ask me again, I'll tell you to." I ain't asking. Yeah, I won't ask you at all.
But he looked good, didn't he, mate? And as far as what's next, they're talking about the rematch with Cerrone, which I don't think will happen.
Obviously, he's gonna be looking at Poirier versus Khabib 100%. So obviously, if anything happens in that fight, he will step in. I think even if Khabib got injured, he'll step in to fight Poirier. He would just fight anyone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like he says, he claims to be the champ. He says he's the champ. I'm the champ. He refers to himself as a champ, so he'll just fight anyone. And like I say, Dustin Poirier gets injured, he'll step in there as well. If neither of them get injured, he'll fight the winner.
Interesting. Yeah. And he had a few thoughts on that fight as well. So he said he thinks Dustin's got very good hands. He said decent wrestling. He said, but the problem is he boxes off the cage. And he said, as soon as you have your back on the cage, then that's perfect for Khabib. At some point, he's going to double leg you, take you down. And this, and he actually said, this is how he trains. He said, I've got a full mat laid out the same diameters as the UFC cage. He said, but I have no cage wall. He said, so whenever I go back, I never put myself on there. So he all this weird stuff he does for training.
That makes sense.
But as soon as he gets it, he doesn't let himself get anywhere. If there's no cage wall.
Sure, if you know where the cage wall is, you just...
I get that, mate, but this is Tony Ferguson logic we're dealing with here, mate. This is Tony Ferguson, so...
I'll give him a call.
Yeah. But that would be interesting. And many think, and we were even talking to a few people, many think that Ferguson... as the most problems for Khabib.
I think there's two fights. I mean, obviously, people are saying that now because it's the most recent memory in your head. Not too long ago, you probably heard on one of the podcasts when I was saying, actually, we would like to see Justin Gaethje.
Yes, mate, great shout.
So I'd like to see Justin Gaethje fight, because yet again, people don't realise Justin Gaethje has phenomenal wrestling, you know, but he just never uses it. But he has a great wrestling pedigree as well. So, and he has heavy hands. Yeah. And I think the type of only person, I mean, the type of problem you could give Khabib, if he can't get you down and you have to force him to stay on his feet. And I think Ferguson Ferguson is actually good on the ground as well, better than Gaethje, but it's like, can Khabib get Gaethje down? If Khabib gets Gaethje, it's one of those ones. If Khabib gets anyone down, you normally think, "Oh, that's it,
done."
Because there's different levels. It's like, some people in my weight class I've rolled around with over the years, and there's just one person. You're just like, this guy just feels like five weight classes above, and I kind of like put Khabib in that bracket. He's one of those people. You don't know his strength until you feel that strength, even though you're like, oh, no, he'll be all right. You know, yeah, he's my weight class. Some people just have that extraordinary sort of body position, power, and
understanding
style.
Technique.
Yeah.
I think I heard Phil Davis saying something like that about me at breakfast the other day as well, mate.
Oh, my God. I didn't see it though, so it didn't happen.
I can't believe you didn't see it, mate.
Did you get on camera?
Mate, no, but...
It's on camera? Oh, but people go... if you go on to my... it might have gone by now, but on my story, you saw me... I pants Phil Davis. That did happen. I pantsed him. It's, you know,
it's on camera, mate. Yeah, someone filmed it for you. Like sort of friend, a good close colleague filmed that for you, so you have evidence.
Well, you should let me...
You were too busy doing Michael Jackson hat moves on the dance floor.
Mate, I was trying to bust a few moves, pull some shapes on the dance floor.
It was good. It was good. But look, let's talk about somebody else who will have enjoyed himself after Saturday night. We have the one, the only, the dentist, Mr. Darren Stewart, joining us on the phone. Darren, great to speak to you. What a night for you. What a weekend. But I see you straight back to reality on the school run this Monday morning.
Yeah, no rest for the wicked, man.
So how was Chicago, mate? Let's talk about that, because great performance. And I'm just going to preempt this, because before the fight, I spent some time in Poland with Brad, and we were talking about your fight, and he mentioned low leg kicks. He said he'd been working on them. He was interested to see if you use them in the fight. First two, you drop him twice, mate.
Yeah, thank you, B, man. Yeah, it was great, man. Great. I was saying when I was training, I remember saying to Brad, like, oh, Brad, what I remember to do it. And he said to me, don't be silly. If you're training it in training, you're obviously going to do it. And I didn't even think about it. I just did it. Then when I watched the fight, I was like, oh, yeah, I threw two big leg kicks, slow calf kicks.
But you didn't just throw two. I reckon that's the quickest anyone's ever been dropped, not just once, but twice. I'd be interested to see if that's an actual stat in a UFC fight, because that was some power.
And it wasn't even full power. It was just, I hit his leg as if I had, like, shin guards when I was sparring. I didn't actually pop a football kick it, you know what I mean? It was just like a
tap. But they're good. They knocked him right off his feet. But you kind of, like... Yeah, you kind of went away from me. You'd done it a couple of times in the first round, and you didn't, I mean, it was very successful when you did it, but you didn't really go back to it too much. Did you hurt your foot at one point? Did you kick his knee by accident or something?
No. I did it on purpose, didn't I? I had to change it. I didn't want to keep giving it to him, like, oh, he's going to kick. So there was a time, I can't remember what round it was, I left it for ages. I was like, let him forget about it. Then I did it again. I was just trying to switch up the tempo. I was just trying to spar him, to be fair, man. Just trying new things.
It was one of the first times, I think, watching you fight where you actually seemed pretty relaxed and you was having
loose,
fun.
Loose, mate. Yeah, loose.
You
started
doing the old,
see.
like Muhammad Ali shuffle and stuff.
The hips
and, like,
were in there, smiles were out. It was good.
Some salsa moves were coming in.
Oh, you know, B knows the salsa moves. I should look at the camera and call him out and say, B, look at this footwork.
So obviously going into this fight, if I'm right in saying it was your last fight on your contract, did that add a lot of pressure going into this fight? As in, you're thinking, oh, I need to win, I'm fighting for my job, a sense. How did you feel leading up to the fight?
It put a little bit of pressure, tiny pressure. But when I spoke to, like, the likes of you and Bola and all my friends and our family, it's just, I just thought, you know what, just, it's what it is, man. There's always other opportunities out there, do you know what I mean? Stop putting so much pressure on yourself. I mean, if they keep you happy, they let you go, you know, it's not the end of the world, you know. If they let you go, your family not going to leave, you're not going to die.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean? So just go out there and just have fun. I mean, and that's what I did. When they had fun, I mean, I'm just waiting now, really. I was happy, as long as I'm just ended it on a high, you know.
Is your management team now in talks about a new contract?
Yeah. Just waiting, man. Just waiting for that. What's next?
Hopefully a few extra zeros. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know that, man. Why not? Why not, baby?
Why not, indeed. But that's one of the things that I sort of picked up on as far as watching your fight. You were so cool and calm and relaxed, and even when the crowd were booing, you weren't reacting to that. I mean, I thought it was like a really solid performance. And when you put together the opponent you had, that Lewis is big, he's strong, he wanted to wrestle you. You put a bit of your grappling on show there. You engaged the wrestling. I was so impressed with your cage work and what you did off of it.
I know Brad saw the break in the grip. I know he saw the break in the grip. We drew that 70 times.
Yeah, when he had your back.
I know Brad's watching. Let me break this grip, man.
Hey, Cormier saw it as well. He was well impressed with you fighting the hands there. It was very cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, and the crew were booing him. The thing is, yeah, the old school Dan would have, like, reacted to it. I would have just done something, maybe get a knockout, or done something and killed myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just ignored it. I just saw the round through, you know? So it was good, man. I was much more smarter this one. So I'm happy.
It was very good. There was one little bit of controversy in there as far as a late punch, but everyone put the blame on you, but he threw, like, a really hard punch right after, I think it was the first round, and he hit you first after the bell, right?
Yeah, well, I see it now because
everyone, even the press were asking you about the late punch. It's like, hang on a minute, you're the one that ate the late punch, and you
just tried to return the favour.
Yeah, but Goddard as well was on you saying, calm down. It's like, hang on a minute, did you just see him get hit after the bell by that right hand? I thought that was crazy.
And it was the best shot you were hit by, I think.
I thought it was my fault. So I was like, yo, come here, let me say that, cool. And then Goddard said, no, just leave it. And I touched hands with him. And even the press at the back was like, what was that about? So I'm thinking, it's my fault. So when I watched it back, I was like, hold on, it hit me first. Clean.
Oh, clean. And also, I get this thing, because when it was happening, it sounded like you wanted to go and have a go at him. That's what, I mean, obviously, you wanted to go chat to him. So for me, from the outside, when I said that, I thought you wanted to go and have a word with him. Like, why did he punch you after the bell? That's what I, looking at it, must have thought. But I didn't realise you were saying that about you wanted to apologise. I didn't realise.
Yeah. Weak punch anyway, man. You know I got a chin. Weak punch. I was in the zone. He got me and I was still trying to go back. And when Goodard jumped in, I was like, oh, wow, where am I? Okay, let me stop.
That East London beard was put on show, mate. That is a solid chin you've got there, mate.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much.
I mean, the performance, like as far as technique and game plan, that was amazing. But we've already kind of touched on it. There seems to be something like mentally that's switched in you a little bit as well. There's been some highs and lows with the UFC run, but this one again, you just look so relaxed. Have you changed anything? What is it that you're doing differently mentally to be that cool and calm in there like you were this Saturday?
Yeah, and one of my teammates introduced me to a performance coach. And with my performance coach, I've been seeing for about a month or two. And we've been doing a lot of meditation and yoga. So I do that for breakfast, lunch, dinner. I'm always meditating. So I'm meditating day, night, evening, in the change room, everything. So that's helped me a lot. Visualization, we're doing a lot of that as well.
It was great, and like Brad said, just to see you smiling and relaxing, showing a bit of those that footwork and that salsa moves, that shows how relaxed you were in there. But is this the first full camp you've had where you're a full time fighter? Is that right?
Yeah, it's the first one. Yeah,
that's crazy. That is crazy because you've not just been in the UFC for like a minute. You've been 2016, right? Was your first UFC fight? Is that right?
Yeah, man.
And you've all the way through till now, till this last fight, you've been holding down a job and being a dad and doing all that comes with it.
Yeah, and I know it's only the last minute people realise, oh, you're full-time now. People thought I was full-time. So don't disrespect me like that. You know what I mean? Like, don't disrespect me like that, man. Come on. You're taking a miss. Give me credit, man. If anything, I've done well to actually stay there while working. Do you know what I mean?
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I was getting maybe one hour, probably a day, probably. I'll go from work, pick him up, then drop him home back at the door again, and then I'll have 1 hour session. Like the time where people say, yo, Dal, come and do some wrestling on Monday, whatever, down at Titan. Oh, I can't go because I'm working. Yeah. All right, look, come and do some little gloves. Because obviously, little gloves and big gloves are totally different. Come do little gloves sparring on Thursday. Yeah, I'll come. Oh, don't wait, I forgot. I'm working.
Hold on. What's this?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm working. So it just has to stop, man. It's just stop. When I put the work in, I'm just so happy.
But also, I guess that's one thing where actually paid like dividends in this fight is where your conditioning looked great, and I know you got a new strength conditioning coach. I believe that.
Wait a minute. Is this who? And this is your quote. The big idiot. Is that what you called him straight after the fight?
I was like,
he's big. I wouldn't call him an idiot, mate.
So obviously you changed up, but I guess that's not only with him helping you out as well. It's just that you have more time because people don't realise to be a professional athlete, there's so much. Well, to be a professional boxer, no disrespect to boxers, but really all you need is one coach and then you need to do your pad work, your technical work, a bit of sparring, a bit of strength conditioning, and that's it. When you become an MMA fighter, it's like so much more. You have to go do your ground, you have to do your wrestling, you have to do your
strength.
And like I say, especially if you're trying to hold down a job and trying to fit these, something's got to give. So maybe like you were saying before, you used to get tired within your fights because you couldn't fit in the extra condition. You couldn't train twice a day and get used to it. So that's why you're in much better shape. And people don't realise as well, recovery isn't very important. So if you're working all day and you're training, you're not going to recover. Where if you're a full-time fighter, you could work, you train during the day, you rest in the afternoon, then you train again in the evening. So you train twice and you have that rest in between is very valuable, you know. So
true. Recovery is important, man. I mean, I wasn't recovering mentally off. You know what I mean? Even though I was at work and my job is like a prison custody officer, like we take them to court, whatever, and we sit in court. Yeah, you might think we just sit there, but mentally my head's not there because you've got to think about keys and prison and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So mentally my mind wasn't there. You know what I mean? So it is a big, big difference, man. I'm seeing some stuff online as well. People are like, oh, yeah, it's a boring fight, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? It ain't no crap, man.
That's the thing.
Ever.
Ignore it, mate.
Ever.
Those people are keyboard warriors that have no idea what it takes in. And I can't even imagine what it's like preparing to fight somebody at the level of a UFC fight. And you're doing an hour a day thinking, well, how many hours are they doing? Because that's the other side of it, right? You're going to bed and you're thinking, well, they might have had three sessions today and I've only managed to get one set of sparring in or one bit of conditioning. That's difficult.
Of course, I know for a fact everyone I've fought so far is training full time. I know for a fact. Do you know what I mean? No, I wasn't doing that. Do you know what I'm saying? And it still struggled with me. So
I was going to say, Brad said you look in shape now. I'm going to argue. Yeah, you looked in superb shape all the way through the your career so far. But that difference of you,
it's the cardio.
Three rounds and it not being scary, getting into that third one and still having it in the tank. That was part of the fight in this one as well. Your cardio was so much better than Bevan Lewis's.
Yeah, man. I mean, I do a lot of stairs. So we do like my mate that does my conditioning with me. I go to his building and we do like three laps, 18 floors. And then what we do, we test ourselves with his training camp. So, okay, so I've done it this week. I've done it in 15 minutes. You know, I've done it in 30 minutes. I've done it in 11 minutes. You know what I mean? So I'm pushing myself each time. And I can't stand it. Just seriously, I wake up 5 in the morning, go meet my 6 in the morning. I can't stand doing it, but it's paying off.
You ever thought about using an escalator?
Is there a lift in that building, mate? Come on, dude.
Escalator. The lift broker to say.
Escalator, you know? My friend will push that stop button and still make me run. So yeah.
You must have gone out and celebrated in Chicago. Can I just ask, is there any Baileys left in Chicago, mate?
Oh, I took it all. And on the plane. Listen, I've got one here as well this week. One right here looking at me right now. I rinsed it out. What are you talking about? I was on a plane, yeah. I got my first one. I called her back. Yeah, I said, can I have another one? She gave me a dirty look.
Oh.
Give me another one.
I don't think it was about you having a second drink. I think she's just confused about like a hard man like you ordering a Baileys, mate. I think that's it.
One of the press guys tried to get me about it as well. Said, look, leave me. Let me live. I don't really drink anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm training God knows how many times a year. Let me drink my Baileys on the rock. I know Brad's probably taking a mick right now.
Mate, I never take the mick out of you, ever. Obviously, with your salsa dancing moves, did you put them on display that night? Did you go anywhere?
No, I didn't do no sales right there, man. It's hard to find that. There's no time. Once I come at the venue and then we go out for a little drink or so, if you know you've got to be packing and then check out, it's just not enough time, man.
Well, you mean normally, mate, I'm not telling you how to live your life. Normally, when you fight out in America, what you do, you fight, right? You win like you just did. You go out, you stay out all night, and then you get on the plane the next morning.
And you miss your flight, yeah. And yeah, then you're in the bad books with the missus.
Oh, yeah, I did that. I didn't sleep. I definitely did that. I was up for about probably 30 hours in total.
Yeah, but did you not go out that night and like go to some sort of like club? Normal club? When I said salsa, I mean you could dance salsa to any music, really. You know, you just swing your hips a little bit on the dance floor, and you know they love it. You know, I was doing salsa out in Poland,
mate. He was on the sauce and the salsa out in Poland as well. But what you can't see is he's moving his hips while he's talking right in front of me. But I've seen video of you actually doing salsa, mate. You are legit.
Oh, thank you. I do try.
Where do you get those moves? Is that something you've done for years, or is it something you do with your wife, your partner?
I started off on YouTube. I was like, my missus is Latina, so one time I went out for a birthday, and when I went there, and I was standing there like a donut. Everyone's all dancing, and I didn't know what I was happening, you know what I mean? I said, you know what? How's she out there dancing, and I don't know, innit? I said, I'm not having it. I like challenges, innit? Do you know what I mean? If you show me something, I'll learn something.
I love it, mate. So you went on YouTube and just learned off YouTube?
Listen, I went on YouTube, yeah? And then I used a wall, like leaning on the wall to represent that like, you're holding the girl, and I practiced my footwork. I said, okay, look, I'm going to go out tonight.
How can you watch a video when you're looking at the wall?
And the laptop's there at the side. Don't try it, please. The laptop's there. Don't try it. The laptop's there at the side, innit? I did my thing. I went out, and then I know one girl won't like it. And then one girl might say it's all right, whatever. I said, okay, it's not good enough. I'll go back again. I'll practice.
Did you at any point reach over and trying to give the wall a little bit of a kiss?
Right. Yeah, I drew a picture on the wall and everything.
In a perfect situation, how's the rest of this year look for you?
Well, right now I'm feeling good, I'm feeling great. Good energy around me, and looking like a good future, I can see. So I'm looking like the rest of the year is looking great, man. I mean, obviously you don't know until it happens, but I'm looking to go again. Hopefully,
would you want to fight once again, twice maybe?
Yeah, of course. You know how it is, man. But it's not me, man. You know, they make you sit there and wait for 4 or 5 months. You know what I mean? So But definitely looking to go at least twice end of the year, man. End of the year, well,
is there anybody?
I'm in good headspace now, so I think I'll be good.
Is there anyone you kind of like? You know, obviously sometimes when you have people in your weight class that you look at and think, oh, I like one mind fighting that. Sometimes that does help. Obviously, when you call out names, saying, not in disrespectful way, but I really like a fight with this guy. I think it'd be a really good matchup. Is there anyone on the roster that you're looking at the moment going on?
Yeah, he was there, man. But I call him Salt Bay Donut, man. He tried it, man. But they got rid of him. Theodora, whatever his name is.
Elias Theodora. Yeah.
So one fan was like, oh, just like being generous. I think, you should fight Darren. You guys should fight. Not what they do on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I ain't fighting him. He's got a bad record in UFC. He's not even top 15. So I saw that. I was like,
did you get turned down by the Invicta ring man?
Yeah, man. What are you talking to? What are you talking about, man? Let's go. So I mentioned one time, I said, may I have this dance, didn't it? Yeah. And he's like, no, you're not worthy and all that crap. I just heard that they got rid of him. I wish I'd spoken on mic. I would have said, look, bring him back for one time, man. He's there, bro. This guy is so tough.
Okay, now you're not really going to fight Salt Bae. How about anyone else?
I would like to face like Uriah Hall, man. I know we're good as well, and obviously Bevan just fought him last, but I think me and him would be a good match as well, man. He's a cool guy.
That could actually even make sense, because considering you both just, you just both beat the same guy, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it'd be a good one, man.
Actually, Bevan Lewis was looking really good within the fight with Uriah Hall, and then he actually got caught in the last round. So,
man. I mean, Bevan Lewis is a tough guy, man. I mean, Devin's a tough guy. I just train really hard, you know what I'm saying? I've broken down mentally, so he's definitely a tough guy. I respect him.
And you said after the fight you want a little break, because you cut. And is this right? You've trained pretty much from November, so you were set to fight, and then they didn't get you a replacement opponent for London, so then you were put on this card, which is a little blessing in disguise that everything happens for a reason and all that. But that's a long time to be in camp waiting.
You've been out 6 months, wasn't it? First fight in 6 months, I guess.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time, man. I mean, after November, I had a little break for Christmas, but then bang, it went on from there. Like,
especially being out for 6 months, not having a proper job. You want to fight, yeah.
Exactly.
Your longest layoff and you weren't working.
But I do like what he's added to his routine now, is meditation. So if the wife comes in and he's asleep on the couch, you just, babe, I'm meditating. This is my mind coach stuff, yeah? Leave me alone. Go feed the four-month-old and the other kids.
I that works with Sarah.
That.
I might try that with Sarah.
I'm meditating. Oh, you know that, man.
I like it. But I mean, how hard was that time out? And now, obviously, you want a little break, but you said, ask me again Monday after in one of your interviews. And how do you feel? I mean, if you watch the fight back, are you getting a little tingles thinking, do you know what? I feel good. And let's keep this work going.
Yeah, definitely. I watched the fight. I can't stop watching, to be fair, man. I mean, it's just happy to see me do me. If you watch all my fights in UFC, it's different. That's why when Bevan was, I knew if Bevan was trying to prepare for me, it'd be crazy, because every fight of mine is different. I don't know who is he preparing for. But this one here was me. This one here was me. I was just happy to watch. Like, I'm moving like I was in training. Like, honestly, I'm not relying. Obviously, I had like little exchanges, but the way I was moving and fitness, bro, I wouldn't have gone 100%. I was probably going like 60, 70. So I mean, I didn't even up it. I was just being myself. And it just shows that I need to up it and I can still beat people. That time will come for like the top 15 or so, you know what I mean? So I'm just happy to see myself be happy, man. Smiling now, dancing, everything like that. You heard for me and say it as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's great to see, man. Great to watch.
Honestly, mate, thank you so much for the time. So pleased with how everything's going, and good luck with those contract negotiations. I'm sure that performance has woken the UFC up a little bit as well, and hopefully you'll get the paycheck you deserve, and then we'll find out what's next for you, mate.
Lovely. Thanks for having me, guys, man. It's been
fun. I'll see you Thursday, yeah?
Already?
hey, also, just let people know where they can follow you on Instagram and on social media, because you've got a great account, so let people know.
Yeah, so Instagram, you can follow me at Darren_MMA, and that also goes for the same as Twitter,
Darren Underscore MMA.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for the time. Look, take care. All the best, mate, and enjoy it. All right.
Take care, Darren. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. See you later. Bye.
Cheers. Bye bye. He's a happy man, isn't he?
He is.
I'm a happy man now. What an energy he's got. Yeah. I feel like jumping up and dancing next to that wall.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, he's a fun, fun cat to be around. And like, people don't realise, like, he's super professional as well. Like, he's always on training before time, if that makes sense. Like, always, yeah. Like, training starts at 11. If you turn up at 11 for me, you're late. You know, like, to be on time, you have to be early, and he's always early. He's like a really true professional, you know, and that, and it shows with his work ethic, and now it's paying, especially now becoming, it's scary now. I didn't realize that now it makes a lot of sense why he don't make it all the time in the morning. So like, where's he been? No, now it makes
doing
sense
a proper job, mate.
No, I'm like, oh, he's trained really good for this camp, he's been in all the time, but now it makes sense to me. But yeah, so like it's scary to see. Like now he's a full-time athlete to see the growth and to see my snake for the dentist.
You know? It's really good. And how did negotiations work like that? Did you ever get down to your last fight and negotiate from that? Is it a case that the UFC then come at you and just throw a number or a fight at you? Or
I think that's kind of like a new thing. As in, like, I always negotiate. For me, I always, they renegotiated with me before I went into my last fight.
Okay.
Because I think it's because they didn't want you to have your last fight and leave and go to another organization.
Exactly that.
So
yeah.
They always, you know, I don't know if it's a new thing now, because there's a few people, I would say it was because I'm a special person and never wanted to let me go. But I think there's some other people, you know, Yare
Rodriguez,
did. I think Sage Northcutt did.
That's right.
A few people have done that, you know, and what happens is and they try and renegotiate a contract, like Kyoji Horiguchi. He was another one who was high up in the flyweight division. His contract ran out. They offered him a new contract, and he wasn't as big as the one he was getting over in Ryzen. And he went to Ryzen.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a newer thing, you know.
But he's put himself in a good spot.
100%.
That performance, that opponent he took on.
I don't think I'll be able to go into my last fight not knowing, you know, like what's next. Don't get me wrong, they could cut you all the time anyway, really. So when people don't realize as well is when you sign a contract for the UFC and you sign a 5-fight deal, doesn't mean they have to honor you 5 fights. They could cut you before you even have a fight, as in just because you signed for them, it doesn't guarantee you're guaranteed 5 fights.
Yeah. So as far as fights as well, coming up, there's a little break, I think. We've got a little break in the action. The next fight is June 22nd, that'll be June 23rd. That's a UFC fight night, which is Moicano taking on the Korean Zombie. That's a hell of a fight,
and
it's a main event.
Any fight that these two guys are in, I've always been a fan of. And like you say, you always need two good fighters to make the fight, if that makes sense. And these two, yeah, never in a boring fight. Korean Zombies is crazy, and Moicano is so
unreal,
super talented.
So talented.
I was really surprised that they actually got beat by Aldo. I actually thought he'll beat Aldo, you know. I'm like, yeah.
But Aldo raised to that. That was a really impressive performance from Aldo. Because I think he was by far the underdog, despite being arguably one of the greatest featherweights to ever do it. And Chan Sung-jung, the Korean Zombie, is coming off the back of his loss to Yari Rodriguez. That's right, isn't it?
And that was a crazy fight
and
as well.
And potentially the greatest ever finish in UFC history.
I mean, I have to try and recap my brain, but I believe that Zombie was winning.
I think it was close, but it was that last exchange with a spinning elbow, up elbow.
It wasn't a spinning elbow. He ducked down.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going to go for a takedown, but then threw an upwards
back
elbow.
Crazy. And it was right at the last part of the round.
They're the sort of things you'd never, like, you don't practice. You know, like, it's just like going back to some people just have that kind of creativity within fights that are so special, like someone like a Ferguson who just does stuff that was just like you don't think of. He throws a jab and a kick with the same hand, you know, like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
We saw that. He was throwing his left jab and a high kick as well. It's
well, that makes no sense.
who's padding that combo? Somebody with a couple of black eyes, I'm guessing.
I would hate to be their pad man, because, like, I half the time I honestly believe they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So how am I supposed to know, you know what they're doing?
I just pad everything, mate. Just standing in one of those literally, big marshmallow contests.
You see him with Tony Ferguson's training. He does some mental things, and that's probably why. Because you can't know and hold pads for him.
Yeah, just unorthodox training methods and crazy. But that's that fight. That card alone is worth it for that fight, just because anything can happen in that main event. But then underneath that, the co-main event, you got the rematch between John Lineker and Rob Font. 2016, they fought. Lineker won by unanimous decision. Since then, they've both gone 4-2. I think Lineker is stepping in. It was supposed to be Cody Stammen taking on Rob Font, but Lineker has stepped in, which is something he asked for. He was complaining about not getting enough fights. They've put him in against Rob Font. It's a rematch not everyone was asking for, but it's interesting as far as Lineker is number 10, Font number 12, trying to really establish himself in that top 10 and to move forward. They need a good win on this one.
Yeah, this is a good fight. I think it's a good fight for the division. Rob Font, for me, he's the size is going to be a big size to him. How tall is Rob Font? I think Rob Font is like 6 foot something, isn't he?
He is. He's tall. He's very tall. But they have four. So it's not
5'8". He's 5'8". But and
5'8" versus 5'3". So
yeah.
So there is a height difference.
High range. I believe that Rob Font is southpaw as well. Or is he orthodox? I don't know. But he's very rangy sort of striker. You know, I've been a fan of him. And Lineker is just Lineker. He's just like,
you know what you're getting. Bite bomb down after mouthpiece. Bomb after bomb. Yeah. It's gonna hurt, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're gonna hurt the day after.
He just tries to hit you, and that's it. Hit any part of you, you know.
So the fight that that rematch that maybe not everyone was after is going to happen as a co-main event. So it will be exciting because it's Lineker in a fight and Font is itching to get that win back. But the fight nobody knew that we wanted that was mentioned on social media today, Tom Cruise versus Justin Bieber. Tom Cruise has been called out by the Biebster himself. Have you seen this?
I kind of don't believe it. I mean, I've got a feeling this is
It's on the internet, mate. How can it be fake if it is on the internet?
Holy Bieber.
Yeah, holy Bieber. So Justin Bieber tweets out, I want to challenge Tom Cruise to a fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take...
Whoa. Let me pull you just back.
Yeah,
a second.
Please try.
All right. In the octagon. So they want to make it... It's not just like
he's
a boxing...
He's tagged.
It's not a boxing match.
He wants
to do
Dana
a
White.
Fight.
We'll
oh, my yeah. God.
So, he wants to challenge Tom Cruise to a fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you will never live it down. Who is willing to put the fight on? At Dana White?
Okay, right. As much as... oh, my days. Okay, as much as, like, could get me wrong, I'll tune in to watch it. I will watch that fight. I think if you did that in the UFC, make some mockery of people trying so hard. You see people on the Dana White Contender Series, you know, crying at the opportunity to get in the UFC.
Yeah.
I just think that's a bit of a slap in the face to the sport.
Right. I
put it on. Put this fight on 100%. You know, a bit like KSI versus whatever his name, Logan, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Paul Logan, whatever his name is.
Do that in a ring. Do this your own separate organization
promotion,
show.
Promotion, yeah.
Promotion, just for that fight alone, have an undercard underneath it. You'd be able to make a lot of money on pay-per-views just for that fight alone. Please do not put it on the UFC.
Well. Conor McGregor has stepped in.
Oh, my God.
Here we go, mate. Brace yourself. Conor McGregor said, if Tom Cruise is man enough to accept this challenge, McGregor Sports and Entertainment will host the bout. Does Cruise have the sprouts to fight like he does in the movies? Stay tuned to find out.
So this is where Conor McGregor is actually being quite clever, being a businessman.
Yeah, mate.
He wants to take that money away from the UFC and do his own little promotion, and like be an Oscar De La Hoya kind of promotions. For me, that makes sense.
Right, now let's get your picks then, mate. So Justin Bieber versus Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, I think he's 56. Justin Bieber, I don't know how old he is. But Bieber has trained with Mayweather. Let's not forget that. The money Mayweather. Tom Cruise, obviously done lots of martial arts training for his movies. What are you thinking? Stylistically, Brad Pickett, how does Justin Bieber match up to Tom Cruise?
I mean, this is the most stupidest question.
Listen,
you're a professional.
You should be able to look at their body types. You've never watched
a
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Yes, so you've seen Tom Cruise throw a punch.
Well, no, I haven't.
Have
really.
You late at night watched Justin Bieber's concerts?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that sounds like me, doesn't it? That's exactly. Have you watched Justin Bieber's concerts? Have you ever seen him perform live?
No.
Not live, as in on TV or whatever.
I guess.
Yeah, you have. So you've seen him move, all right? Now, as an expert in this field, as somebody who has carved out your
It's not happening, mate. Honestly, it won't happen.
I'm asking you to break them down stylistically. Who's got it? What are we looking at? What attributes will they each need to use to beat each
well,
other?
Well, straight away, you're going to go with the youth of Bieber, for one.
Yeah.
I'm 40 years of age and I feel broken. So yeah. I don't know why.
Have you seen Tom Cruise? He's an absolute dime piece, mate. He's in top nick. Yeah. Top nick.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't... I'm also going to put my out there. It's not happening.
But, mate...
It's not happening.
So if it does happen, though, surely Tom Cruise, his walkout song, has got to be Danger Zone, right?
Oh, mate.
Can you imagine that? See, tingles already.
Highway to the danger zone.
Yeah, that's got to be, mate, hasn't it? Yeah. That's it. So they should make it just for the walkout, just for Tom Cruise's walkout.
They should make it a film. And they should make a film about the film. A
documentary, Netflix, sign it up. Let's do this. That's it. So after talking about the big fight on everybody's lips, Tom Cruise versus Justin Bieber, we're going to call an end to the show right there, mate. So that's it. And if for all your BT Sports information on the next fight night, check their social media at BT Sport on Instagram, at BT Sport UFC on Twitter. And as far as what's happening with the show, so we are in talks with some sponsors about the show. They're ongoing. Hopefully it's going to get signed, sealed and delivered. So stay tuned. Keep in touch with us on our social media at @1_punch for Mr. Bradley Pickett, at Brian Lacey MMA for me. Stop waving at the camera. Stop it, mate. He's putting me off.
Sorry, mate. That's hilarious.
At Brian Lacey MMA for me. We're going to keep you tuned. So we are in talks with people to try and get this signed fully and to continue it. So keep bugging BT Sport. Keep writing the reviews. And hopefully we will see you back here very soon. Any messages for the wonderful people that have supported us so far on this BT Sport
journey?
It's
been a special journey. Yeah. I think with me and yourself, our relationship has blossomed.
Oh, yeah. So in Poland, it certainly blossomed. And, it nearly went too far, mate, to be honest.
I believe our listeners are blossoming. I think we all are one, so we need to keep this going, 100%. So, by hook or by crook, we need to get this podcast... Sponsored and done.
Yeah. It has to be, mate. What I like there is you made that a little bit Scientology-like, like we're all one. All this
Scientology, sort of, isn't that what Tom Cruise...
That was the link, mate. That's why I said it. Okay, that's it. Good job we're always on the same level, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Okay. How's that knee?
It's not bad, but you can test it. No, actually, don't touch me, mate. I'm going to cry. All right, okay. So we're off into the danger zone. See you later. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.